listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Episode 201 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
We will be looking at people's five favourite things more in depth, but we have to be a little bit more organised to deal with that first. And also, like, cool shit actually happened in between us recording our 200th episode and this one.
Yes.
Which is nice.
So basically, even though everybody's already talked about it, we're going to talk some more about the new Doctor for Doctor Who and the casting choice that's happened. Because why not?
Well, it's a controversial topic somehow.
Why?
I mean, it's like votes for women is like still a controversial topic. Actually, I suppose in some countries it still is. But, you know.
I think probably in some conservative clubs it still is.
Yes. Yeah. Quite possibly. So Jodie Whittaker is the
13th Doctor.
13th Doctor. Thank you, our resident Doctor Who super fan.
Although, can I just say, I'm really annoyed about that because it should actually be 14th Doctor.
Who are they miscounting?
John Hurt as the War Doctor.
Ah, okay. No, that would make sense.
Bastards.
Yeah, that's fair. But. Jodie Whittaker in of herself being cast for the role is not a terrible
move. It was a very good idea. No. I like you. I've been on about, they've needed to shake it up for a while now, let's be honest, but step away from what we've known for the last 50 odd years and go into a bit more of a, interesting state of play, I think.
Okay.
And open it up.
Although, personally speaking, I find that casting a woman in the central role, a smart woman as a central character in this series about a time-travelling alien with two hearts that lives in a box that looks like a police box that no one sees on anywhere on the streets of the
paper.
UK. And has psychic paper, and the box is bigger on the inside than it is the outside, then it can turn into things and, you know, different things and blah, blah, blah. I just think it's unrealistic that, you know, when, you know, she'll be travelling to anywhere in time and space.
Oh, you know that.
With her psychic paper in a weird reconfigurable box. I just think it's unrealistic for the Doctor to have boobs.
You see, because that's kind of a...
I'm glad you're being sarcastic now, so I was going to have to just dive down to Cumberland and slap it off my face and say, what the fuck are you on, boy?
Well, it's... I have seriously seen people say, oh, it's unrealistic to have a female.
Oh, yeah, I have as well.
What the hell are you
on about? What's funny is
the Doctor's an alien from a race of people that don't exist.
Who will just turn into a completely different person when
with different personality traits.
I heard, yeah. And it's just, oh, and you suddenly find it unrealistic that they don't have an alien version of a Y chromosome. Oh,
but what's interesting with the reaction to the reaction to the, whatever, like after basically it was announced after the Wimbledon final, and, is that people I knew were like, oh, I'm hearing people, they were like, oh, I'm seeing people like talking about people being assholes about the news, but I haven't actually seen anyone being assholes, to which I'm kind of like, well, lucky fucking you that you've somehow managed to, you know, create this friends list on Facebook or following list on Twitter where you are without contact with assholes. Unfortunately, some of us weren't so lucky and have seen, ended up interacting with assholes that weren't our own and or any asshole that we actually wanted to be near at the time, because some assholes are nice, but then many are not.
We have seen severe cases of asshole-isis.
It's like the kind of asshole-itis where you see a friend of a friend because you've already unfriended that friend because of how much of a dick they were over Ghostbusters last year. So that friend of a friend who basically went out of his way on every post of that friend that happened to be about the 13th Doctor commenting on those posts. And people were noticing this in the extended friendverse and being like, what the fuck, you asshole, and then calling him up on it. And that's the thing. It's mostly been guys that I've seen who have been dicks about this, being assholes about this. It's mostly guys. It's a few women, but mostly guys.
Yeah. I've seen some women, some, you know, who I follow. And they've been saying, oh, no, you know, you can't have a female doctor. You know, they're the companion who grounds the, you know, the alien. And it won't work. And it's just, good God, what the hell have you drank? Because that's some, you know, really internalized bollocks going on there.
Some of the most famous companions have been male.
Yeah.
And some of the most famous companions have actually been alien.
Yeah.
Good God, they even had a cybernetic dog.
And an android.
Yes, and an android. So
I think the one
a shape-changing android.
Can I just point out one big thing here as well? I mean, they've all kicked off here. I found it quite amusing. I mean, there were some comments that I was sort of getting involved on in my friend's fear because they were actually saying, well, I'd had my heart set on Tilda Swinton. I think she'd have been a better doctor and stuff like that, which, to be fair,
I saw a lot of people sort of like saying, oh, why can't it have been like Dame Helen Mirren? Why can't we have had like we've just had an older, mature doctor? Why can't we have like... And I'm like, well, we could have Dame Helen Mirren, but then there'd be budget for almost nothing left. You know, like, you would blow most of the show's budget.
Can I just say that?
Could have a conversation with people like that because at least they're actually not being... You know, they're actually bringing in some comments that, yes, if it in a perfect world,
other than a woman.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they were talking about it sensibly. You know, or other people just saying, "Thank God it's not Chris Marshall." Yes, well done.
I am going to say though that if there was a series of Doctor Who that was just Dame Helen Mirren in a room being smart and talking, I would watch that.
Yes, definitely.
It wouldn't need a budget for, you know, any special effects or whiz bang or Daleks or anything like that. It's just, you're awesome. I will just listen to you some more.
The one thing that we've got to remember is that basically we've had the past couple of Doctors, well, since the new Who, it seems, every single announcement of the new Doctor has always, you know, they've had people that have turned around and says, oh, he's too young or too old or, you know, he's not well known enough and whatnot. And each time they get proven wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what links in nicely there? I remember the exact... Well, I sort of vaguely remember some of the exact same bollocks because I was quite young at the time. But Tom Baker fell off a satellite dish.
Yes.
As in, you know, Tom Baker's doctor, not Tom Baker himself, because that would be a very bad thing. And regenerated into Pete Davidson. So there, link. See?
Mm-hmm.
I can do this podcast thing. related tangent.
But what's even funnier, though, is all these people kicking off, but there has already been a female doctor.
Yeah, but we don't want to really talk about that. Oh, I rewatched that recently.
Which was that?
Which one? Hey?
The comic relief.
Oh yes.
No. I was talking about Big Finish Audio. They actually did a series called Unbound, and they had Arabella Rear as the Doctor.
Interesting. I like
and
Arabella.
It was a really good story as well, and she made a really cool Doctor.
Well, also, what was interesting is the fact that for the last couple of seasons, it's not like they haven't been easing us into the idea that a previously male represented Time Lord couldn't suddenly regenerate at some point into a female appearing Time Lord, aka Master versus Missy.
But the issue is that there's people out there going, but that's New Who lore. Doesn't count.
Missy does count.
It obviously does count because we're in New Who.
Yeah.
And most of the people who are whinging about this are not Doctor Who fans anyway.
No, they're just whinging. Yeah. They're also often not licensed fee payers.
Also, when you actually bring up Missy, they agree that she was a brilliant character and a great step forward for the Master character.
Although, I did see a few comments from hat tipping men going, as a massive Doctor Who fan, I think it's disgraceful that blah 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 political correctness and agenda and social justice warriors and that, and I am sane, but yeah, definitely. And what next? They'll be turning the master into a woman. And she, well,
actually,
massive Doctor Who fan.
Oh, that's the thing. I really hate it when this whole PC thing gets thrown up as though, you know, you basically have a character that can regenerate into pretty much like any race, any, you know, sexuality, any gender and whatnot. And you're still assuming that the default, the best person for the job is always going to be a white guy.
Well, yeah, because you've... we've had Mr. Pete Davidson, former doctor, saying, oh, but now that the doctor is becoming a woman, the boys watching the series, they will have no role model. The doctor will no longer be a role model for young boys. And it's just like, well, I don't know what kind of world you're living in, mate, but as a woman who's grown up with genre stuff, the amount of freaking times I've had to deal with lead male characters being almost the only thing in the media I consumed, and identifying with them, and, you know, you using them as role models.
Well,
of the media I've consumed in my life.
How long it took to get a male, a female superhero on, you know, on the big screen. In her own movie,
which wasn't Catwoman.
No, it was Supergirl. Yeah,
to be fair, Supergirl's better than Catwoman. I'm putting that out there.
It is a lot better.
I remember watching Supergirl as a young boy, because I didn't give a shit whether the character was male or female. I wanted superhero stuff. I wanted flying. I wanted heat vision. I wanted superhero-y things.
But it is kind of ridiculous, because his argument also kind of, like, he was reasonable in his argument for most of it, but it was the male role models thing that Davidson said that pissed me off the most when he commented on the whole thing, because it was just kind of like, it kind of ties into a weird issue we've got in British and a lot of Western society, that women can't be role models for young boys. Like, there's a whole shift in our education system at the moment, admittedly being led by a conservative government, to put male teachers in the classrooms, because apparently there's not enough male role models in schools for young boys. And this is having a negative impact on them. And I'm like, well, what kind of negative impact? What, are they not masculine enough for you? Is that the problem? Because otherwise, if male or female that kids in our schools are dealing with and are essentially being role models for, are teaching them right, getting them to think about themselves correctly and those around them correctly in ways that benefit everyone and everyone can get along, blah, blah, and they're learning, who gives a fuck what their gender is?
It's not just that, but for years now, we've basically had white male role models, you know, throughout, and we've kind of expected, you know, people of colour and women to look up to those male role models, so why not have it?
But
you know,
it also all feeds back into the idea that it's been so long since I've studied this, but the whole idea that the white, often Christian male, is the universal experience. He can represent anything. And that's why you end up with women, people of colour, people who might be in possession of a disability or something, like, represented in really tropey bullshit ways. Because only men somehow subconsciously in most cultures can be everything. They can have tragedy and lightness and love and horror and all these various facets in their character or the story that they're playing, but everyone else can't.
I mean, it reminds me of I think it was like a Steam game called, I think it was Dust, where basically instead of kind of picking the character that you get to be, you basically get assigned like a race and a sexuality and whatnot.
Rust. Yeah.
And the amount of people that basically, you know, loaded the game up, did their thing, and because it was tied to their account, they basically was like, no, I'm not playing it because I don't want to be a black guy. What?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, really?
So you'll only play it if, you know, if you've got the advantage, in essence.
It's, you see, things like that are always useful, as, you know, as you said earlier, Emily.
Yeah.
They're very, it's very useful for rooting out the complete shits.
Yes. Mm.
Because it's like, oh, you're the, you have an issue with this. Goodbye.
We know at least one other friend that's had to unfriend someone in the past week because he was being a dick on anything to do with this news.
The thing is, though, is that they never give a decent reason why this person would be bad in this role.
Yeah.
It's never a decent reason.
It is always just the, oh, political correctness gone mad.
I forget this political correctness. I want value for money from my license fee. I'm paying over, what's the license fee at the moment? It's over 100 quid. Is it 140 quid a year? How much is it? It's
140 quid, yeah.
Yeah, a year. And there is hardly anything on British television, as in, well, it's not British television, on BBC television that I want to watch. About the main thing that this money helps towards at the moment that I take advantage of is being able to listen to Six Music when I'm working. That's it. I mean, when Doctor Who's on, the last season I actually did enjoy, so finally some license fee money use, I got, but most of the time the BBC don't produce stuff that I'm actually interested in. But what perhaps Americans commenting on this who are watching this on BBC America, who also may happen to be male and objecting to all of this, might not realise is that if a British person wants to watch broadcast television in this country, and now keep in mind that this includes a lot of stuff also just kind of put online as well, you have to have a TV licence. Mm. It's not really that optional if you want to watch most forms of television, even if it's not the BBC.
It isn't a subscription service in the way that they think.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like, and you're complaining about this thing, but like, okay, Doctor Who makes more money once it gets sold on, but it's that initial license fee money that's helping to fund this damn thing. And it's like, and it's ignoring the fact that you've got a lot of people who would like their money to be spent in a way that works with their, I don't know, issues to do with representation and stuff for once.
Well, I mean, you said that you liked the last season that has been on. And I think part of the reason for that is because Pearl Mackey, is because Bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a person of colour who played a lesbian.
Yes.
And that was new. That actually, you know, kind of worked with the story and made kind of a bit of nuance to it.
She has to be my favourite companion.
Hmm.
Since Doctor Who returned. I just thought she was a very good character.
Mm.
It was, so, and that, you know, that this is like, that season's like the first time I've seen a bit of my money being well spent on that show.
Yeah. I mean, you're saying about, you know, the Beeb. I watch, you know, bits of the news. I listen to about 2 hours, a 2 hour window, sometimes 2.5 hour if the Infinite Monkey Cage is on. From about 4:30, or you know, Inside Science, to about 7:00.
I've given up.
If I'm out walking on Radio 4.
I've given up on the BBC News.
It depends. PM is better than the vanilla news, and then of course you get the you know, some of the topical shows, you know, like comedy, you know, stuff at 6:30, and that, some of that can be quite good. But yeah, it's. When it comes to actually watching television, I watch very little of it that's actually broadcast.
Yeah.
And ITV, I've not seen any Broadchurch as a consequence
to
that.
Because the last ITV show we watched was Delivery Man, and that was because one of our fives, he's been on the show before, Mr. James Henry, was one of the writers on that. And basically it was like Green Wing, but toned down for a ITV evening audience, basically.
I'm going to try very hard not to generalise with an ITV evening audience.
It's also, though, as I think it was James's wife, who's my boss, remarked to me the other day. It's like, oh, that was the last time ITV1 did comedy. It's like,
wow, really?
Yeah, I think they stopped doing comedy after that. Which is, even though it was a good series, but obviously they decided, no, they're not going to do comedy anymore.
To be honest, I really don't know what ITV do anymore apart from reality TV.
Oh, don't forget, whatever's the morning thing that's got twit faces on.
Oh, yeah.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I feel we should need to bring this back to Doctor Who. Let's bring this back to Doctor Who.
I'll just say, with the whole ITV thing, it's a little bit like going on holiday to an English-speaking country, and everyone seems to have the same accents that you're used to, but you've not seen any of the programmes.
It is a bit like that.
It's a bit... Some of these seem, especially the formats, like, you know, some of the cookery or, shows like that. It's just, this seems very familiar.
But, have we got any final words to say about, or any more points you want to make about this Doctor Who recasting?
Well, I think going back to the whole PC bullshit is, there's just kind of so much to unpack there. For a start, PC is basically code word for, being respectful to people.
Yeah. But we don't want to be respectful. We don't want to have to hold back our bigotry and inappropriate thoughts about groups and individuals.
The fact of the matter is that if you're going to assume that the Doctor couldn't be a woman, and bearing in mind that, the Doctor is somebody that, regenerates, that is canon. It's not like they're replacing, I don't know, like your favourite TV soap star with, completely random other person on the planet. This is canon that, these actors will kind of take over from one another.
Yeah.
And it's not like watching a long-running series, say, like Roseanne, and one of the characters comes back and it's a completely different actress.
With no explanation.
Or what happened with Aunt Liv on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yes.
Because...
Yeah, it's just... Look,
And by claiming that it can't be a woman, you're basically turning around and saying that the best person to play the Doctor is always going to be a man, which is just ridiculous.
So...
Surely.
And the hilarious the one saying, it's Nurse Who now. what are you from the 1950s?
That's not how the medical profession works.
No, but I would like to point out that surgery is one of the worst medical fields for female involvement, which is really bad because you can end up sometimes with really prejudiced men who are quite sexist and stuff, in charge of surgical procedures that are quite gender-specific and perhaps not caring as much about the outcomes as they should for people of particular genders. And that could be quite bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I would just say I'm very excited, but I do want to see some really strong scripts.
Yeah, because of course we've got...
Near the end of last season, where they just seem to get better and better.
Because
the last few seasons, scripts have been
That is where my concern lies.
And this is the good point to bring up that obviously Chris Chibnall.
Yeah.
I feel like if I raise my voice in just the right tone, you'll tell me it's the right way.
I hope one day
it will call him the universal autocorrect,
and you say his name exactly like that. Hello, nice to meet you, Christian.
maybe that'll happen one day. And he'll just look at me strangely, sign whatever I've probably got up to have signed, and then I'll just wander off.
Chris Chibnall, bless him, of Broadchurch, which I enjoyed immensely.
Also a good point to point out that obviously Jodie's main serious acting stint of recent years has been on Broadchurch as well.
And Attack the Block, she was in that.
She's been and Black Mirror.
Yes, and Black Mirror.
Yeah, so as soon as I saw her, she is one of these actors who said, yes, I've seen things with you in, but I honestly can't name them right now. I'm just going off to IMDb to check this up.
Well, I mean, like before Doctor Who, David Tennant's most famous role was Casanova.
Casanova, yes.
TV series.
Yeah, where he worked with Russell T. Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen that either, and it's like, okay.
I think I had actually seen bits of that. I get the feeling my parents watched that, and I caught bits
ooh.
Of it.
Yeah, so. It's the parents have watched something yeah. like this. So, ooh.
But is this a point where we bring up, unfortunately, Chris's not always quite working past on Torchwood, which we have mentioned before when we found out that he was going to be the next show, right?
Yeah. Shall I just randomly say that the Cyber Lady episode of Torchwood was yeah. one of the worst hours of genre TV I've ever seen?
That wasn't Torchwood, though. That was Doctor Who.
That was Torchwood.
Yeah, it was the episode with the cyber lady that's been kept for secret down in the, you know, in...
And the barbecue out. Sauce so that their pet pterodactyl attacks it.
Yes.
And yeah, it's okay. Yes, we're working in a top secret government lab and nothing can get in or out unless our glorified T-boy decides to bring in his girlfriend.
In which case...
Who happens to be a Cyberman in a metal bikini.
Yeah.
And he also did write some other episodes, and he also wrote...
Which I also hated.
Bless you. And he also did write some of the episodes for Life on Mars, Season 1 and 2.
Which I liked, so I'll give him that, but I didn't
and
like...
And Borchert was, especially the first season, was very, very well written.
Can I just say, though, because, I mean, this could be like the reverse of Stephen Moffat, where... We absolutely loved his individual episodes. And then yes. you hated him as series producer. So it could
See,
be the other way around.
I think always hate him as the head writer. It's just been the last couple of seasons, I feel, have been very, very weak.
I feel like his attention's been elsewhere, and the producers and the producers have perhaps not been running the ship as tightly as they could have been.
I think the last season for Matt Smith was quite poor.
Mind you, was that the season? Because obviously during Moffat's run, it also includes the season or two where the budgeting crap went really bad because of the producers.
I think that was that season.
Yeah. So we've got that. Let's got that going up. So let's hope that none of that happens and that Chibnall's given the support he needs to ensure that the show is of a
stronger
and interesting quality that people actually want to tune in for each week.
And I want it to work. I want it to work for several reasons. One, because I like watching Doctor Who. And for anyone who thinks that, you know, because I saw there was a YouTube video, very, very quick, don't worry. And it was someone who was blah, blah, blah. Doctor Who lost its way. The writing went terrible when Russell T. Davis left. And it's like, no, Russell T. Davis was shit on Doctor Who. Yeah. He just was. So, you know, there's you know, all this, and it's like, blah, blah, blah. And it's, you know, we need to, you know, work things out with, you know, head writers. And it's like, yes, in a lot of ways, you need the head writers to have less influence and let other writers come into the, you know, the writing room. Especially if we can get some, you know, female writers for this season. But I want Doctor Who to work because I like the series, and if it comes, you know, if it comes back with a bit of a flat series like Capaldi had for, you know, his first two, then you know the arseholes are just going to blame it on, oh, it's Lady Doctor, so the stories are rubbish.
One thing I hope they do is that the Doctor doesn't, like, immediately have any romantic stuff going on. That's perhaps one fear that I've got.
Can we just drop all the romance stuff? Because, after all, he's an immortal alien, basically romancing space monkeys.
Yeah.
That's what the love stories in Doctor Who are with the Doctor. It's like, ooh, space monkey, sexy monkey. Well, ooh, yeah.
Considering, you know, how... Considering how old he becomes, you know, between, you know, from like Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi, how old he's meant to be at that point. You know, he's gone through several lifetimes. Well, human lifetimes.
Yeah. More than
900 odd years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
In fact, he died relatively quickly the first, 11 regenerations?
Mm.
He spent most of his time as either Matt Smith or Capaldi.
Yeah. Okay, well, now that we've talked that subject to death, and if
just,
you have...
Just one more thing.
Okay. Just because
you... Let's not go for the Mr. Safe companion who happens to be male. Let's jazz it up even more. Let's have an alien again as a companion. Please.
To be honest, I did actually like Matt Luce's character.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, and I'm not a fan of his in general, but I liked his character in this. I thought his character worked well, both with the Doctor
and with Bill.
Can we have Bill back again?
She's just
great.
The other thing, though, is I kind of wish that John Barrowman wasn't so occupied with certain, you know, series in the US.
Oh, can you imagine Captain Jack with a female Doctor?
It'd be so hilarious.
Well, I mean, theoretically, because Captain Jack's meant to be bi, so surely he would kind of act in a similar way.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I know, but...
Not, like, being a little bit flirty, but not, like, over the top.
Also, do we want the Doctor to complain about not being ginger again? Like, to just align, just be like, not ginger again once the regeneration's happened? They've seen their hair.
Well, I would quite like to see it. Ooh, have I gone ginger? Hang on.
I mean, to be honest,
this is new.
Considering they built in the idea that the Doctor could somewhat control his regenerations by having Peak Peldy, in essence, being kind of the face of the guy
who's in the face. Yep. Day,
theoretically, he could actually regenerate as Karen Gillan.
Yeah.
Yes,
I would like that.
I'm not sure why he would, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm moving this on. Okay.
But not Catherine Tate. Jesus Christ, no.
You were Retroid was not too happy when a Catherine Tate Doctor Who gif was used in our chat that we used to help us organise episodes. Yes.
Yeah. In my defence, it's just great. Because I hate her as an actress.
I kind of liked Donna by the end.
I did. I thought
the character was... Yeah, but it's a little bit... I like the character, but I wish the television would stop punching me in the face whenever I saw her on the screen. So it's intellectually, I like the character, but I really do not like her as an actress or comedian.
Okay, we're moving on. Yes. Officially, it's done. It's done.
Okay. And the person moving us on is Emily, so she should have to go first as punishment or something.
Okay, so what have we been up to? What have I been up to? Well, I've been working my way through Hannibal TV series. Hey! After it was kind of funny, like, so I watched it on the Netflix, and like, I was just getting towards the end of season one, and I had friends talk to me going, oh, but there's no season two on it. And then just as I was about to finish watching season one, season two got added to Netflix.
Hey.
Yes.
So I finished watching that, but obviously there's three seasons, at which point I was like, I really can't wait for whenever season three might be added by Netflix. So I bought a Blu-ray box set, and I'm currently working my way through season three. Oh, okay. So... I can handle a lot of squeamish stuff in that, but I have actually had to turn away during bits of episodes from the screen when I've been like, cause I'm watching it whilst I'm exercising on my bike and just being like, no, I can't actually watch this. It is too fucking gory. But like the way they've paid so much attention to the cinematography in the episodes, it's astounding. Like the way
it is a beautiful looking.
Yeah. It's just the way things are set up and framed. It's intense, like just how much crafting's gone into it.
I mean, I think TV series nowadays, there is kind of this level of it's kind of comparable to film.
Yeah, yeah, and this definitely is. I mean, obviously, like I've watched The Silence of the Lambs, never read the books, and I kind of obviously have like a vaguish idea of where this might end up, but I am interested to see how this series ended up kind of ending before it got cancelled.
Yeah.
But I have heard rumours that they might be trying to bring it back. I'm not sure. I feel like it's definitely something that the fan community wants, because I've kind of dipped my toe into the fandom a bit as well whilst dealing with this, because the person that wanted me to is quite big into the fandom and stuff. And
I still like the fact that Hannibal faced off against Sherlock.
Yes. Yes.
Doctor Strange, in essence.
Now, how, did you say you're partway through season 3?
Yeah.
Have you got to the dinner party?
Which dinner party? Because technically he's had...
The one where he invites, I think possibly his boss.
And something happens to their head?
Yes.
Yes, I've seen that.
I thought that was, I can't, you know, this was on the network. This was on an American network.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite series.
The one thing that you've got to remember when it comes to America is the fact that violence is seemingly more appropriate for kids than sex.
Yeah.
It's you can do various things with, say, power tools.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but a boob?
Yeah.
Goodness. Oh, no.
So watching, Hannibal, I've been playing a little bit of Final Fantasy 15, which I haven't played in the past few days because I've been busy doing some writing. But, I'm still not sure what to think of it. I find the battle system is too freaking much. It's really, really making me wish a lot for turn-based again. I'm going to continue playing it just to see how things go. What else? Oh, I started rewatching Gilmore Girls as something to help counteract Hannibal.
Cool.
Because there's like days where it's like I can't watch murder and mayhem and psychological profiling.
And you'll never quite look at antlers the same way.
No.
Or musical instruments.
Yeah.
You see, or angels. Other things.
I'd be kind of interested in a crossover between Gilmore Girls, Hannibal, and Supernatural. That way you can have Dean coming back as Sam and trying to stop Hannibal from eating the Gilmore Girls.
Oh my god, no. No.
I think I've just freaked out.
Is that what you think of Gilmore Girls then?
No, it doesn't need... Gilmore Girls doesn't need... I love Gilmore Girls, and no, it doesn't need that crossover. and this is Paul as well, we had a Rick and Morty marathon on Sunday.
Cool.
We had a few friends around. We had one person who had... My brother, who hadn't watched it before.
Bonus.
So that was great. Because obviously season 3 starts properly at the end of this month in the States. And yes. What did you find out about Netflix?
Netflix are going to be showing Rick and Morty season 3, like, you know, weekly, like it was shown in the States.
There we go. Like you've got a reason to watch it through legitimate means, people in the UK. You don't have to necessarily pirate this thing.
The amount of time that...
Don't have to necessarily.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Rick and Morty only appeared on Netflix I think sometime last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rick and Morty is one of those series where it's had, like, its internet kind of fame and, you know, kind of for a while. And, I mean, even Steven Universe, I can't...
Was it our third or fourth time watching
Rick and Morty?
Season 1 and 2. I feel like it's our fourth.
Probably more like fifth.
Maybe fifth, okay. I can't remember if we mentioned it near the time, but we did watch through all of it at Christmas. So, but like we had people, my brother who hadn't seen it before, he doesn't have Netflix, and two of our friends dressed up in lab coats. It was so cool. We did take a selfie together, and they brought portal jelly, so green jelly with like sweets and stuff put in it, and it looked like the kind of like the random crap that you would sometimes get through like the portals and stuff. And it was just, oh, it was so cool. We had snacks, and rewatching it again made me realize just how fucking dark it gets. And then if you look at like the trailer for season 3, that's got the Dizzy Rascal soundtrack with Bonkers, and it's like, and you just kind of get the guys pausing at one point after Summer does something, and like Rick's like, it's getting darker. And it's just, oh my god. But I'm so stoked now for season 3 after marathoning the episode.
Okay, so Rick and Morty or Supernatural?
That's just fucking ridiculous. It's going to be supernatural. Bigger for me than
Rick. Like, that was a silly question.
That was a bad question, Paul. I mean, you know, they don't have Get Swifty on Supernatural, but actually they pretty much have the equivalent of that in the gag reel videos for each season. Like some of the dance moves and shit, like the guys get up to in like gag reel moments when things go a bit wrong and they just decide to prat about, and it's just
I suppose. Well, actually, no, that would be a spoiler for later Supernatural, so no, I won't mention that.
Okay. Oh, and if anyone was actually hoping for some real news about Supernatural out of San Diego Comic-Con last weekend, that was like a no. Like, they had a full panel on the Sunday, and I think it's Flicks of the Cities got it on YouTube. Mm. Kansas, though, played right before their panel. The band Kansas played Carry On Wayward Son live at Comic-Con.
Why not?
That was like the coolest thing to happen for the entire panel. Everything else, it was like joking about Misha, because Misha wasn't there on stage to begin with, but it was actually apparently a joke. And then just kind of like they had Robert Singer and Andrew Dabb up there with Jared and Jensen, cool. And then Misha talking about season 12, and not season 12, season 13 and stuff. But unlike previous years, they had no gag reel preview for season 12's footage. And they also just didn't reveal much for season 13. They had no, like, preview footage.
Doing an Arrow Supernatural crossover?
That's a rumour. That's not happening. I'll tell you what crossover is. There looks like they're teaming up with Scooby-Doo, though. There is a part of the animated episode happening in season 13. It starts off live action and then goes animated. The very few scenarios I think where that could like logically happen, and part of me is kind of hoping that Gabriel might come back, because that'd be nice. But actually, to be fair, with what happened at the end of last season, there's other characters that could make that kind of bullshit happen.
Trickster.
Yeah, there was also more information about the Wayward Sisters spin-off, which is getting basically like an in-season pilot, partway through Supernatural season 13.
Cool.
Hopefully, it will go better than Bloodlines. But anyway, that's enough of what I've been up to. Rick and Morty, though, seriously, the marathon. Like, if you haven't somehow watched Rick and Morty yet, you're fucking missing out. You need to just sit in your house with some food and some drink. Maybe access to a toilet would be a good idea as well. And just, you know, like 8 hours, you could probably do it. Just watch Rick and Morty. That's what I'm saying.
I've only seen about 2 episodes.
Cookie, what you been up to?
Me? Not a great deal. I did find time to watch the new Spider-Man film.
Oh yeah, we've seen that.
Yeah.
We saw that thing.
Actually, bloody good. I really enjoyed it. Michael Keaton as the Vulture was brilliant.
Do you think that you cast him ironically?
Potentially, yes. But you still made a really good villain, to be fair.
Yeah, he did.
And he actually had a reason for it. Not like Jamie Foxx, bless him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. Brilliant.
because me and Emily were apprehensive about it, you know, thinking that it was going to be just like another, you know, come out of nowhere, bing, bang, boom, gone. But they really did something extra with Spider-Man.
Yeah, and Tom Holland was really good. I have to say, I really enjoyed Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Very, very good. So I watched that. Mr. Metroid, you're not allowed to kill me if I say this. Also watched the new Transformers.
Oh, no. I would like to know, Cookie, what you thought of the new Transformers on account of the fact that it finally actually managed to disappoint a bit. Said brother that also watched Rick and Morty with us. Matt was kind of like, I'm not 100% on this. There's a lot of lazy stuff going on, and he didn't actually enjoy it as much as previous iterations.
I call his taste into question that he enjoyed any of them. Well, but go on.
So, I enjoyed the first one. I thought the first one set up.
I also did too.
The universe quite nicely. It had some really nice nods.
By the first one, you mean the movie in 1986. I also enjoyed that.
No, the 1986 one was the best movie ever made for Transformers. So
we are talking
about the live action, though, right?
We are talking about the live action one now. Okay, so the last night was actually, I dare say it, probably my second favourite.
Oh my gosh!
Live action.
Oh, is that why it disappointed people? I wonder.
I actually liked the nods to the actual history of Transformers from the Next Generation. I actually found it quite nice that Optimus Prime wasn't in it that much.
Mm.
Because it tended to concentrate on sort of the relationships between the humans and the Transformers in history, which was quite nice. Anthony Hopkins' character was just brilliant. He was
He wasn't cooking anything with, you know, beans or wine.
No, he wasn't doing anything like that, but he was very good. And his robotic butler, Cogs, was brilliant. He was really funny to watch. And some of his lines were the standout lines in the movie. It was really good. And I also enjoyed...
For a moment, I thought you said robotic butler Cogs.
Yes, yes, his name was Cogs. But he has got such a personality, you can't help but actually quite like the guy. And I also like the fact that the female character wasn't just running around after Mark Wahlberg.
Whee!
She actually had a real purpose to it, and she had a specific reason for being there, and she was quite a kick-ass as well.
So overall,
yeah, I have to say, I actually pretty much enjoyed it. I'm not sure about Hot Rod being a Citroën car, but there you go. But you can't have it all, I suppose.
Well, maybe that's product placement.
Oh. But he does actually turn into a better car near the end. So that's all right. But so other than that, it was pretty good, actually.
I demand if it's got Hot Rod in that, they play You've Got the Touch.
They didn't, unfortunately. That was the one thing missing. But it was good. I enjoyed it, so we liked. The other thing I've been doing is watching, obviously, Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is back.
Don't spoil. We were actually wondering...
I'm not going to spoil it, but if they could just get that quality and story writing in Doctor Who, I'd be such a happy chappy.
Yeah, but they can't have that many dead bodies before the watershed.
Of course they can.
No, they can't.
But it is... The first episode was just, it's back. What an opener. And the second episode last night was just, oh, fuck. That's gone a bit wrong.
Okay.
So, yeah, very good. Very good. That's me.
So, Paul, what have you been up to other than watching Rick and Morty with me and Spider-Man? Homecoming.
With a special friend of mine, we've been watching Community.
In your case, rewatching.
Yeah, in my case, rewatching. So, cool. Haven't got very far through it at the moment. Got most of the way through season one. And missing a couple of episodes because we started watching it at ours and then went over to theirs and forgot that the disc was still in the DVD player. So we ended up having to skip, three or four episodes ahead.
Whoopsie. Cool.
Whoops.
But, yeah, going very well. Love the characters. Love the situations. Love the dialogue. Love the writing. And, yeah, it's just a fantastic series.
Cool.
Haven't
you picked up Splatoon 2 yet? Yeah?
Sorry?
Haven't you picked up Splatoon 2?
No.
It's before payday.
It's much that, but I mean, I wasn't particularly enamored with the first Splatoon.
Oh.
I mean, I might give the demo a go or something, but there are other games on the horizon that I'm looking forward to more. So
fair enough.
And to be fair to it, it's more or less Splatoon plus DX, isn't it? Yeah. From what I've heard, which is no bad thing if you liked the first, but if you didn't,
yeah, I love the first one.
Yeah, if you didn't though, then it may be an idea not to.
Yeah,
I mean, I think with me it's kind of the issue of who to play with. Because I mean, yes, you can play with random people online, but sometimes you kind of want to play with friends, and I don't have any friends that, you know, are into that or have that.
Oh.
But.
Well, there's always online play on a Nintendo machine.
Oh dear.
Sorry, did that not sound sincere?
No. It's as a friend. As a Nintendo fan. As a dear friend of Nintendo's.
Such a special relationship.
A friend of Nintendo's.
Right.
They're online. Even now, from what I hear, it still sucks.
Shite.
Yeah. It's not good, apparently. So
it's okay for buying stuff, but other than that...
To be honest, I could understand to a certain extent the app that you kind of download to kind of, you know, do the lobbies and chat functionality and stuff like that. But apparently that's not good either.
No.
Okay.
Well, that killed that off, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, Retroid.
That just sort of went...
Never speak about Splatoon again.
We'll talk when they have Pikmin 3 DX Plus on the Switch.
Pikmin coming out for 3DS, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't give a shit.
Okay.
It's not Pikmin.
It's not Pikmin. It's got the Pikmin name, but it took one look at it and it's like...
Doesn't have the Pikmin spirit.
Get the fuck out with that. That's not Pikmin.
Fair enough.
Get that shit away from me. I'm serious about my Pikmin. But, right, what have I been doing? I've been torturing a Commodore 64 by soldering things to it. Still.
Anything in particular?
You little bastard.
I've been managing to power... well, did I say anything about blowing a fuse in a Commodore 64 last time? Yeah, well, yeah, fixed that, added a few more LEDs to it, and then, this is a problem when you're making something. My original idea was, I'll replace the power LED with an RGB one, which of course weren't around in the 80s, so yep. That will look cool. And I thought, oh, hang on, there's an indicator on the SD2IEC, which is the, it makes an SD card pretend to be a floppy drive for it. So I'll... you know, solder a wire to that, and I'll put an LED so I've got an access light on there as well. Okay, that's fine. That's what I'm going to do, definitely. And then I thought, oh, hang on, you can get bicolor LEDs where you can, you know, light them up different colors depending, depending on strength or, you know, basically signal.
Mm-hmm.
So as an example, you can get bicolor red and blue LEDs. So it can... either, well, it can be three, well, four, including off, but who cares? You can have it lighting up red, you can have it lighting up blue, or, if they're both on at the same time, lighting up purple.
Hmm.
So, within the space of a few days, I went from, I will have three LEDs on this for different things, to, maybe just two, and go, oh, no, hang on, I'll order some bicolor ones so I can, you know, have different things going on with the one light. And I keep varying over what I'm going to cut up next on it. But, yeah, it's all very nice. I got some more old discs working with my original floppy drive. So that's going well. Let's see, TV-wise, we've been watching Game of Thrones, of course, but we will not talk of that. Yeah, and in preparation for, you know, new episodes, we've decided to do a marathon of the original Twin Peaks.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
We're about episode 2 or 3 into season 2.
Cool.
And, yeah, it's still a bit weird.
Did you think that the weirdness was going to die down at all?
Sorry?
Did you think that the weirdness was going to die down at all?
Never. Well, I watched it when it was originally on, and I've not really bothered with it since.
Mm.
So, you're talking about 15, 16-year-old brain watching it at the time and thinking, this is a bit weird. And then, of course, you know, a few decades later, oh, God, I'm so old. coming back to it, and it's like, oh, right, this is still refreshingly weird. And I'm going to be really looking forward to what happens with the new episodes, because, of course, the thing about the fans is they are very respectful of spoilers. Because if you're watching something like Twin Peaks, you want to be able to experience it properly.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
There's no point. No one is going to say, hey, what if we, completely spoil who dies, you know, like Game of Thrones or Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of thing. You can't really do that effectively, and the fans don't really want to do it either, because half the time, if you want to actually spoil anything in Twin Peaks, how the hell would you'd have to spend quite a long time trying to explain what the hell was going on to spoil it. So, well, there was a red room, and there was a dancing dwarf, and he was talking backwards, and Laura Palmer was there, but it's actually the dwarf's cousin, and not Laura Palmer, and she said that sometimes my arms bend backwards, and for some reason, Agent Cooper was 25 years older than he is now, even though no one else is, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's just trying to explain part of a dream. I mean, to give an idea on how thorough we were trying to be, we watched the pilot, which was the TV movie, which, you know, was made in the age of they made pilots to see if something was going to get commissioned by the network.
Mm. Yep.
And so we watched that. And then we watched the international version, which, as it turned out, yes, it's got about an extra 15 minutes of footage added to it. But all that is at the end.
Hmm.
So we could have saved a good bit of time watching the international version of the first episode of Twin Peaks. And as it is, several aspects of it, several bits are clipped into like the second episode. Like Agent Cooper's dream in the Red Room, that is from the international version, and that was slapped on the end of it as a, you know, well, we're probably not going to get this made as a TV series. Let's try and resolve it at the end. And then, of course, they got, they got commissioned, and it's like, oh, right, well, we won't use that bit. Hang on. But I really liked that. Let's use it in this. But yeah, being able to binge it, where we've been watching about 2 episodes a night, it does help.
Yeah.
Because,
definitely.
Yeah, I was talking with my wife about it, because she watched it independently. This was, you know, this was years before, you know, we met. And, you know, she'd watched it independently. And we were both trying to work out if, I think it was the Beeb that showed it, and I don't think they bothered with repeats or anything. You know, so there wasn't a catch-up.
Mm-hmm.
And you just had to, you know, sit down and, you know, record it or watch it at that particular time and then wait a week for more nonsense, and hopefully you'll be able to remember what the hell happened in the last episode of nonsense. So, yeah, I'm quite enjoying it. And you can see there's quite a tonal difference between the first season and the second season. And of course, you know, I've read up on it because, you know, I was curious about all the stuff because I remember sort of falling off the second series. The first season is 8 episodes. The second season is something like 22. Mm. And famously, David Lynch left.
Yes.
About halfway through, if not a little bit sooner, in the second season, and then came back to direct the final episode, and then of course went on to do, you know, Fire Walk with Me. But it's all gelling together better than I thought it might. It's still bloody weird. And half the time I'm thinking, is this weirdness because David Lynch or whoever has got it, you know, doing this particular episode isn't quite doing it right, or is, you know, taking a very, you know, weird approach to directing it and using what the particular footage he wants, or is that just him? And sometimes it's hard to tell because there are awkward moments and I'm thinking, is this a part which, you know, shouldn't really have made the final cut in the episode, or is there just something about it that Lynch really liked, so that's why it's in the episode? But yeah, it's going to be interesting to then go into, because I've looked at the IMDb and I've seen there are several characters who return, and they're pretty much in the same roles as they were in the original Twin Peaks. So it's going to be a bit weird finishing that series and then going on to the new ones, which hopefully they'll all be available by the time we, you know, get to it.
Excellent.
Oh, and at the weekend, I watched Lara Croft, Cradle of Life, because I hadn't seen it, and it was all right, popcorn crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I rewatched The Last Starfighter.
Yes.
Which apparently the bloke who wrote that Ready Player One ripped off a good chunk of the plotline for his next book, Armada.
Mm-hmm.
Because the, you know, the plot line, have either of you two seen it? No, Emily and Paul. Because Cookie has, obviously.
What, Last Starfighter?
Yes.
It's been a long time ago.
Not as long ago as me. But, yeah, so the, you know, the plot line, Last Starfighter, is that, you know, trailer park, blah, blah, blah. You know, a bloke ends up being really good at an arcade game called The Last Starfighter, where it's a 3D. It's like, yeah, there were no 3D arcade games that looked like that at that time. It was cutting edge CG in that film, you know, when it was made.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was all, yeah, he was really good at the game. He completed it, got a high score, and then it turns out that the arcade game was a recruiting tool. You know, sent out on, you know, behalf of an interplanetary power that's fighting a real war. And they're looking for people who have the gift of being able to, you know, complete what, you know, what's going on in it. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, boy from Trailer Park, you know, saves, you know, the galaxy. Or at least a chunk of the galaxy.
This whole idea of kids playing games and somehow they're fighting a thing and succeed. Yeah, this all sounds a bit like Ender's Game.
Yeah, although when did Ender's Game come out?
It'd be the 70s or 80s.
Well, yeah. I see, I'm not sure what came first, whether it was, you know, Ender's Game or whether it was Last Starfighter, because Last Starfighter was something like 82, 83.
Okay, I'm finding out. I'm just searching right now. Ender's Game, the novel.
It's quite possible it could have got ripped off.
Ender's Game, the novel, came out in 1985.
Ah, so maybe you got it from Last Starfighter.
But mind you, it's far less obvious how the game and shit is involved in Ender's Game.
That's true.
Like, it's far more insidious.
Yeah, and the film wasn't a very good adaptation, from what I understand. I've seen the film. I thought it was a bit arse.
Okay, so the Last Starfighter film was out in 1984. I would suggest that, considering how long it would have taken Card to write Ender's Game, that they happen separately of each other.
It's quite possible, because after all, games were the new thing.
Yeah.
And of course, Tron came out in a very, very close to that time as well.
So yeah,
but yeah, but yeah, and then of course, when it comes to the sequel to Ready Player One, which I didn't really know about until, you know, it got optioned as a film and started reading stuff about it. And the more I read a bit of it, the less I want to read it.
I had a look at like that bit of sample that I shared in the chat, yeah. And it was just like. I am reading a novel in the first person at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's one of the Dresden Files novels by Butcher. And
That's
fine. It's not I this and I that all the time, despite the fact that it's written from Harry Dresden's perspective. It's far more sophisticated in the way it uses the first person, in a way that kind of makes you forget, sometimes in a nice way, that it's the first person. But reading the samples that I've seen online of Ready Player One, and it's just like, what the fuck? Like, maybe I'll read it sometime, but from the samples alone that I've seen, it actually looks more poorly written than Twilight.
And which is saying.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, I was, you know, no disrespect intended before I say that, because you know there's going to be disrespect intended.
Yeah.
It reads like bad fanfic.
Yes.
What some of the more peculiar Reddit posts. That's what it reads like to me.
Hmm.
And it's just, if there was a game where you could play in the 1980s and my encyclopedic knowledge of nerdery, which is no bad thing, obviously, you know, because, you know, present company, you know, will serve me well, and I will be able to save the world because I know all these, you know, these geeky things. And so, well, that's fine. And then it turns out that no, that's basically what he writes, according to, you know, looking at, you know, the sequel, where it was like, oh blimey, it's basically Ender's Game, Last Starfighter, you know, blah blah blah. And there's bits like there's a girl who really wants to be with him because he's sixth in the world at this game.
Wow.
And it's just, if that's not nerd wish fulfillment, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
And a bit where he phones his mum and, you know, after a big victory in this war, and, you know, says, so I guess playing those games wasn't wasting my time after all.
Ha 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 ha.
And it's like, oh God, just stop.
Shoot. Yeah.
But yeah, Last Starfighter probably, you know, along with Tron, has to be one of my favourite bad films, because it's not a great film. I knew it wasn't a great film when I watched it, you know, on release. I saw it in the cinema, but I still like it because it's cheesy.
Yeah.
So that's basically what I've been doing. I've been thinking about filing down it, LEDs, blowing up parts of an old Commodore 64, and watching stuff like Twin Peaks.
Bless you.
All right. Well. Now that we've got here, I'm afraid this is all we've got time for this week of the podcast. We have to organise a bit more, doing special episodes about our five favourite things, in the sense that we actually might need to set up an editorial calendar for once, which is an editorial calendar.
Organisation?
Yeah, I know. Shh. Fucking hell.
You'll forget about
it. We're becoming the enemy.
I'm scared already.
But we will, once we know when we're going to try and record stuff for what episode numbers, we will actually share with you, dear audience, so that you can start reading, playing, watching.
Preparing
up, basically.
If you want.
Unless you want everything spoiled for you, in which case, you know, whatever. But I would say some of the stuff that we're going to be dealing with is stuff that you would be best to experience firsthand for yourself.
I mean, there could be, definitely, you know... listeners out there that just like to listen to our voices that aren't really into the kinds of things that we're into, but
that's just
it's there's a possibility out there.
Okay, I
they might just enjoy our voices.
Maybe not that one.
Oh my god, this Nerds After Dark. This is not Nerds After Dark. This is
sorry, wrong one. Right.
So it is goodnight from.
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm retroed on Eurogamer.net and super retroed on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Scared Paul, and the
also known as Cookie. You can find me on Twitter as one_cookie. Apart from you, Metroid, with that voice, you can stay away, please.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, no. No. Oh, that's nightmares for the rest of the night. Thank you.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter as at Paul Blewett.
The voice is that disarming, is it? Yeah, okay. Enough putting.
You're under power
now.
Oh,
my God. It's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EK6891. You can find notes for this episode over at nerdassemble.co.uk. You can find us on Twitter at Nerds Podcast. We're on Facebook and Google Plus as Nerds Assemble Podcast. The episode's also available on iTunes and Stitcher. You got any questions, queries, comments? Hopefully not bullshit.
Restraining orders for Retroid's voice.
You can email us contact@nerdassemble.co.uk if you, you know, feel so inclined. But good night.
Good night.
Oh, hello, officer.